No matter who you are, no matter where you've been, no matter where you are right now, you are welcome here. Welcome to Daily Audio Bible Chronological. I'm Jill, and today is the 12th day of December. Welcome, everyone. It's a joy to be here. And I want to just mention up at the front real quick here, Brian and I sat down and did a special edition of whatever this is, explaining Advent. We talk about Advent on Sundays around here up until Christmas, and I realize that maybe some of you don't know what it is, just like I didn't know what it is. And so we just sat down, had a little chat about Advent. That is available for you today. It's a separate podcast altogether, a little special edition of whatever this is. And that's it. One day forward through the Bible. So let's jump in for today. Today we're reading Acts chapter 20, beginning with verse 4. And then we're reading through chapter 23, verse 35. This week we're reading the Evangelical Heritage Version. Acts chapter 20, verse 4. He was accompanied by Sopater, son of Pyrrhus, from Berea, Aristarchus and Secundus from Thessalonica, Gaius from Derbe, Timothy, along with Tychicus and Tropimus from the province of Asia. These men went on ahead and waited for us at Troas. We sailed from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, and within 5 days we came to them at Troas, where we stayed 7 days. On the first day of the week, when we were gathered together to break bread, Paul spoke to the people. Since he intended to leave the next day, he continued talking until midnight. There were many lamps in the upstairs room where we were gathered. Seated in a window was a young man named Eutychus. He was sinking into a deep sleep as Paul kept on talking for a long time. When he was sound asleep, he fell down from the third story and was picked up dead. Paul went down, bent over him, threw his arms around him, and said, "Do not be alarmed, because he is alive." Then he went upstairs, broke bread, and ate. After talking for a considerable time until dawn, he left. They brought the boy home alive and were greatly comforted. We went on ahead to the ship and sailed for Assos, where we were going to take Paul aboard. He had arranged it this way since he was intending to travel there by land. When he met us at Assos, we took him on board and went to Mytilene. From there we set sail. We arrived off Chios the next day. The day after that we crossed over to Samos, and on the following day we came to Miletus. Paul had decided to sail past Ephesus so that he would not have to spend time in the province of Asia. He was in a hurry to be in Jerusalem, if possible, by the day of Pentecost. From Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. When they came to him, he said to them, "You know how I lived the whole time I was with you. From the first day I set foot in the province of Asia, I served the Lord with all humility, with tears, and with the trials that came to me due to the plots of the Jews. You know how I did not hesitate to proclaim to you anything that would be beneficial for you, or to teach you publicly and from house to house. I have solemnly testified to both Jews and Greeks about repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And you see, now I am going to Jerusalem, compelled by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit keeps warning me in town after town that chains and afflictions are waiting for me. However, I consider my life as of no great value to me, so that I may finish my race and the ministry I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of God's grace. Now take note of this too. I know that none of you among whom I went out preaching the kingdom of God will ever see my face again. Therefore, I solemnly declare to you today that I am innocent of the blood of all of you, for I did not hesitate to proclaim to you the whole counsel of God. Always keep watch over yourselves and over the whole flock in which the Holy Spirit has placed you as overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. I know that after my departure, savage wolves who will not spare the flock will come in among you. Even from your own group, men will rise up, twisting the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, be always on the alert. Remember that for 3 years, night and day, I never stopped warning each of you with tears. And now I entrust you to God and to the word of his grace, which has power to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I did not covet anyone's silver or gold clothing. You yourselves know that these hands have provided for my needs and for those who were with me. In every way, I gave you an example that by working hard like this, we need to help the weak and to remember the words that the Lord Jesus himself said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." After Paul said these things, he knelt down with all of them and prayed. They all wept very much as they threw their arms around Paul's neck and kissed him. They were most distressed over the statement he made that they would never see his face again. Then they accompanied him to the ship. After we tore ourselves away from them and set sail, we headed straight to Kos, and the next day to Rhodes, and from there to Patara. When we found a ship crossing over to Phoenicia, we went on board and set sail. After sighting Cyprus and passing by on its south side, we sailed to Syria and put into port at Tyre because there the ship was to unload its cargo. We located the disciples and stayed there 7 days. Through the Spirit, they kept telling Paul not to go to Jerusalem. When our time there came to an end, we left and went on our way. All of them, with their wives and children, accompanied us out of the city. We knelt down on the beach and prayed. After saying goodbye to each other, we went on board the ship, and they returned home. When we completed our voyage from Tyre, we arrived at Ptolemais. There we greeted the brothers and stayed with them for 1 day. The next day we left and came to Caesarea. We entered the house of Philip, the evangelist, who was one of the 7, and stayed with him. He had 4 virgin daughters who prophesied. After we had stayed there for a number of days, a prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. When he came to us, he took Paul's belt, tied his own feet and hands with it, and said, "This is what the Holy Spirit says. This is the way the Jews at Jerusalem will bind the man who owns this belt and will deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles." When we heard this, both we and the local residents urged Paul not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, "What are you doing, weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." Since he could not be persuaded, we said nothing more except, "May the Lord's will be done." After those days, we got ready and went up to Jerusalem. Some of the disciples from Caesarea also went with us and brought us to Mnason, with whom we were to stay. He was from Cyprus and was one of the first disciples. When we arrived in Jerusalem, the brothers gave us a warm welcome. The next day, Paul went with us to see James, and all the elders were present. After greeting them, he reported in detail each of the things God had done among the Gentiles through his ministry. When they heard this, they praised God. Then they said to him, "You see, brother, how many thousands there are among the Jews who have believed, and all of them are zealous observers of the law. They have been informed that you teach all the Jews who live among the Gentiles to turn away from Moses, since you are telling them not to circumcise their children or follow our customs. So what is to be done? They will certainly hear that you have come. So do what we are going to tell you. We have 4 men who have taken a vow. Take them with you, go through the ceremony of purification with them, and pay their expenses so that they can have their heads shaved. Then everyone will know that there is nothing to the reports that have been made about you, but that you yourself are carefully following the law. As for the Gentiles who believe, we have sent them a letter about the resolution that they should avoid food sacrificed to idols blood, the meat of strangled animals, and sexual immorality. The next day, Paul took the men and went through the ceremony of purification with them. He entered the temple to announce the date when the days of purification would end and the offering would be made for each of them. When the 7 days were almost over, Jews from the province of Asia saw Paul in the temple. They stirred up the whole crowd and seized him, shouting, "Men of Israel, help! This is the man who teaches everyone, everywhere, against our people and our law, and against this place. And now he has even brought Greeks into the temple and has defiled this holy place." They had previously seen Trophimus, the Ephesian, in the city with him and assumed that Paul had brought him into the temple. The whole city was stirred up, and the people rushed together as a mob. They seized Paul, dragged him out of the temple, and immediately the gates were shut. While they were looking for a way to kill him, a report went up to the commander of the cohort that all Jerusalem was in an uproar. He immediately took soldiers and centurions and ran down to them. When they saw the commander and the soldiers, they stopped beating Paul. Then the commander approached Paul, arrested him, and gave an order that he should be bound with two chains. He asked who Paul was and what he had done. Some in the crowd were shouting one thing and some another. Since the commander could not find out the truth because of the uproar, he ordered his men to take Paul away to the barracks. Then he came to the steps. Paul had to be carried by the soldiers because of the violence of the mob. The large number of people that was following kept shouting, "Away with him!" As Paul was about to be brought into the barracks, he asked the commander, "May I say something to you?" He replied, "Do you know Greek? Are you not the Egyptian who started a revolt some time ago and led 4,000 men of the assassins into the wilderness?" Paul said, "I am a Jew from Tarsus in Cilicia, a citizen of no insignificant city. I beg you, allow me to speak to the people." When the commander had given him permission, Paul stood on the steps and motioned with his hand to the people. When they were all silent, Paul addressed them in the Hebrew dialect. "Gentlemen, brothers and fathers, listen to my defense, which I am now going to make to you." When they heard that he was addressing them in the Hebrew dialect, they became even more quiet. Then he said, "I am a Jew born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city and trained at the feet of Gamaliel, according to the strict ways of the law of our fathers. I am just as zealous for God as all of you are today. I persecuted this way to the death, tying up and throwing both men and women into prisons, as also the high priest and the whole council of elders can testify about me. I even received letters from them to the brothers, and I was going to Damascus to bring back those who were there as prisoners to Jerusalem so that they could be punished. While I was on the way and approaching Damascus, about noon, a very bright light from heaven suddenly flashed around me. I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to me, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' I answered, 'Who are you, Lord?' He said to me, 'I am Jesus the Nazarene, whom you are persecuting.' Those who were there with me saw the light, but they did not understand the voice of the one who was speaking to me. I said, 'What shall I do, Lord?' The Lord said to me, 'Get up and go into Damascus. There you will be told about everything you have been assigned to do.' Since I could not see because of the brightness of that light, those who were with me took me by the hand and led me into Damascus. A man named Ananias lived there. He was a devout observer of the law and highly recommended by all the Jews living there. He came to me, and as he stood beside me, he said, 'Brother Saul, receive your sight.' At that very moment, I was able to see him. Then he said, 'The God of our fathers has chosen you to know his will and to see the righteous one and to hear the sound of his voice. For you will be his witness to all people of what you have seen and heard. Now what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on his name.' When I returned to Jerusalem and was praying in the temple, I fell into a trance. I saw the Lord telling me, Hurry, get out of Jerusalem quickly, because they will not accept your testimony about me. I said, Lord, these people know that I went from one synagogue to another, imprisoning and beating those who believed in you. And when the blood of your witness Stephen was shed, I stood by, giving my approval and guarding the clothes of those who were putting him to death. And the Lord said to me, go, because I will send you far away to the Gentiles. They were listening to Paul until he said this. Then they raised their voices, shouting, rid the earth of this fellow, for he is not fit to live. When they started shouting and throwing off their cloaks and throwing dust into the air, the commander ordered that Paul be brought into the barracks. He directed that Paul be interrogated by whipping in order to learn why the people were shouting at him like this. As they stretched him from the whipping, Paul asked the centurion standing by, is it legal for you to whip a man who is a Roman citizen and who has not been found guilty by a proper trial? When the centurion heard this, he went to the commander and said, what are you about to do? This man is a Roman citizen. The commander came and asked him, tell me, are you a Roman citizen? He answered, yes. Then the commander answered, I acquired this citizenship for a large sum of money. Paul said, but I was born a citizen. Immediately, those who were about to interrogate him moved away from him. The commander was also alarmed when he realized that Paul was a Roman citizen because he had tied him up. The next day, since the commander wanted to find out exactly why Paul was being accused by the Jews, he untied him and ordered the chief priests and all the Sanhedrin to meet. Then he brought Paul down and had him stand before them. Paul looked straight at the Sanhedrin and said, gentlemen, brothers, I have lived my life before God with a completely clear conscience to this very day. But the high priest Ananias ordered those who were standing near Paul to strike him on the mouth. Then Paul said to him, God is going to strike you, you whitewashed wall. You sit there judging me according to the law, and then you order them to strike me contrary to the law. Those who were standing nearby said, do you dare to insult God's high priest? Paul replied, I did not know, brothers, that he is the high priest. Indeed, it is written, you shall not speak evil about a ruler of your people. When Paul realized that some of them were Sadducees and the others were Pharisees, he shouted out in the Sanhedrin, gentlemen, brothers, I am a Pharisee, a son of Pharisees. I am on trial concerning the hope for the resurrection of the dead. When he said this, a dispute broke out between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the assembly was divided. For the Sadducees say there is no resurrection or angel or spirit, but the Pharisees believe in them all. Then there was a great uproar, and some of the experts in the law who belonged to the party of the Pharisees stood up and protested strongly. We find nothing wrong with this man. What if a spirit or an angel spoke to him? The uproar became so great that the commander was afraid Paul would be torn to pieces by them. He commanded the soldiers to go down, take him away from them by force, and bring him into the barracks. The following night, the Lord stood next to Paul and said, take courage. As you have solemnly testified about me in Jerusalem, so you must also testify in Rome. When day came, the Jews formed a conspiracy and bound themselves with an oath, saying that they would not eat or drink until they had killed Paul. There were more than 40 who took part in this plot. They went to the chief priests and elders and said, we have bound ourselves under a solemn oath not to taste anything until we have killed Paul. Now then, you and the Sanhedrin file charges with the commander so that he will bring him down to you, as if you were going to make a more thorough examination of his case. We are ready to kill him before he gets close to this place. But when the son of Paul's sister heard about the ambush, he went into the barracks and told Paul. Then Paul called one of the centurions and said, take this young man to the commander, because he has something to report to him. So he brought him to the commander and said, the prisoner Paul called for me and asked me to bring this young man to you, because he has something to tell you. The commander took him by the hand, led him aside, and asked him privately, "What is it that you have to tell me?" He said, "The Jews have agreed to ask you to bring Paul down to the Sanhedrin tomorrow, as if they want to gain more accurate information about him. Don't let them persuade you, because more than 40 of their men are waiting in ambush for him. They have bound themselves under a solemn oath not to eat or drink until they have killed him. They are ready right now, waiting for your consent." So the commander dismissed the young man with this order: "Don't tell anyone that you have reported these things to me." Then he called two of the centurions and said, "Get 200 soldiers ready, along with 70 cavalry and 200 spearmen, to go as far as Caesarea at the third hour of the night. Also provide mounts so that they can put Paul on one and bring him safely to Felix, the governor." He wrote a letter as follows: "Claudius Lysias, to His Excellency, Governor Felix, greetings. This man was seized by the Jews and was about to be killed by them when I came with the soldiers and rescued him, because I learned that he is a Roman citizen. Since I wanted to know the charge they were bringing against him, I brought him down to their Sanhedrin. I found he was being accused concerning questions of their law, but there was no charge that deserved death or imprisonment. When I was informed that there would be a plot against this man, I sent him to you at once. I also ordered his accusers to state what they have against him before you. Farewell." So the soldiers, according to their orders, took Paul and brought him to Antipatris during the night. The next day, they let the cavalry go on with him while they returned to the barracks. When the cavalry came to Caesarea, they delivered the letter to the governor and they handed Paul over to him. After the governor had read the letter, he asked what province he was from. When he learned that he was from Cilicia, he said, "I will give you a hearing when your accusers arrive." Then he ordered that Paul should be kept under guard in Herod's palace. Okay, we have the riveting story of Paul being arrested. And if we remember at the beginning of this journey with Paul, when he was first Saul and then renamed to Paul, and we remember when he was Saul, he was persecuting Christians, persecuting in the sense of actually calling for them to be killed. And now he is out preaching this message, this gospel of Jesus. But what we should remember from early on is that Paul knew that his purpose and his transformation from Saul to Paul would not come without great opposition. I mean, he believed that God specifically spoke this to him and warned him of it. And here we are watching this play out with the arrest of Paul. And we will continue on the journey with Paul in the days to come. Jesus, we thank you for your word. Thank you for how it transforms us. May we understand that following you will cost us something. And may we understand that following you will cost us something from the people that claim to follow you, that do not even know you. There's a significant difference. But following your voice is what matters the most, and our pursuit and our surrender to you, to King Jesus. Following you does not promise us everything that we ask for at our fingertips. It is not to gain, but it is loss. To pick up our cross and to follow you daily. We surrender to you here and now. And I pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm going to remind you again at the end here that Brian and I did a little special episode of whatever this is. explaining Advent, the season of Advent. If you're new here and you're like, yeah, I remember you talking about that on Sunday, but got no clue what it is, and I thought that was for them, not me, not us. We just sat down and did a little chat. That will be available for you today. If you would like to partner with us, thank you so much to each and every one of you for each and every partnership. We could not do this without you. If you're giving by mail, DAB PO Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee 37174, or you can partner with us by hitting the give icon up at the top of your mobile app, or lastly, look for give on the website. The website, dailyaudiobible.com. It's the most wonderful time of the year for a lot of us. We recognize, not for everyone, and we recognize that this is difficult for a lot of people, and we sit in that ache with you. If you would like to call in your Christmas greeting, this is the first time it's been open for chronological, you can do that. 800-583-2164. That is the number for chronological. Or utilizing the app, hit the red circle button up at the top midsection. You have 2 minutes on that prayer line for your Christmas greeting. And if you also have a prayer, make sure that you make those calls separate. If you're calling in your Christmas wish, one call per person, please. And if you're calling in your prayer request or to pray for someone, one call per person, please. That helps with the volume of calls, especially around this time of the year. Please do not call in the same greeting both channels. Just pick one, and we'll make sure that it gets played. Lastly, today, Christmas boxes, they are available. It is the only time of the year to get certain exclusive items in the Christmas box. Get it while supplies last. They're going fast. That's it for me today. I'm Jill. We'll turn the page together tomorrow. I love you all. Until tomorrow, love one another.
Hello, Daily Audio Bible. My name is Lauren, and I'm calling to request prayer for my family. We have been in a season of desperation. Our children are struggling. Our marriage has been struggling. We have a child dealing with severe PTSD because of neglect that she went through outside of our home. We have a child who is dealing with anorexia. We have a child who is struggling with identity crisis. We have a child who's dealing with great emotional distress and struggles, and we are struggling. We are giving, and we have nothing left to give, and we know that God supplies all our needs, and I'm just asking for our community to rally around us and lift up our family. We need all the prayers that we can get, and we need God to move in miraculous ways in our situation. Thank you.